welcome to all of you. We appreciate so much your being here today in God's house. We're going to have a wonderful day today. It's WMU Focus Day. When we once a year, they let us share what we're doing in Women's Missionary Union, and the ladies just kind of do their thing today. But I welcome all of you. If you're a guest, we hope that you will come back again, and if you would, there's a little form in the back of the pew you can fill out with your name and give us a little information about you, and then we'll send you a little information about our church. And we welcome all of you today. We want to thank the men for a delicious breakfast. They fed the women this morning, and it was really good. If you weren't here, you missed out. My mama smelled those ham biscuits the minute she'd come in the door. And she'd been looking forward to that ham biscuit. So we thank the men for getting out early and making that delicious food for us this morning. We've saved the announcements till the end. We have a lot of announcements in the bulletin, and I hope you'll look at those, but I'm sure Gary will mention some of those at the end of the service today. Could we bow in prayer, please? Our Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day. It's like spring, and we're all looking forward to spring so much. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this church and all that it means to this community. Lord, we just ask that you be with us as we reach out to this community in lots of ways, including with CUOC and other organizations like that help people in our community, those that are less fortunate. Lord, we just thank you for all the volunteers and people who work with organizations like that, volunteers in our church that share the love of Christ with others. Be with us today. In thy name we pray. Amen. The things that's in your bulletin today, it's an insert. I hope if you will pull that out. We try to put that in there every year to give you an idea about what is Women's Missionary Union. A lot of people, especially if they're from different denominations or not a part of WMU, we like to give them an idea of what it is. At breakfast this morning, the people at my table, I just went around the table and I said, if somebody asked you, what is WMU? I just wanted to hear what they would say. Some of the things that they said was, it's a Baptist organization for women, trying to minister in various ways. One of them said that we educate in missions, about missions. One said it was ladies concerned about missions. One said that we meet once a month to pray for missionaries and support mission work, and all of these things are exactly what WMU is about. We know that the Lord said, go into all the world to teach and share his love, and so WMU tries to do that and is focused on learning about people who are doing that, the missionaries that are doing that. This little insert will tell you what the five principles of WMU are, and each of the organizations we have do this in some way. We have five women on mission groups, which are the adult part of Women's Missionary Union. Then we have ACT Teens, we have GAs, and we have Mission Friends for different age groups of children and youth. And they meet on Wednesday nights. We would love for you to join WMU if you're a lady and are not participating already. It shows the meeting times on here. If you don't know the leaders of these groups, if you'll get up with me, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. But take time to look over this insert, if you will, just to get a general idea of what WMU is about. And we do an awful lot in the community, especially, and within the church as far as mission activities, doing lots of things. We even have one Women on Mission group that does lots of sewing, and if you like to sew, that's what they do, and they make beautiful, beautiful things for lots of different people and different organizations. Other groups meet and pray for missionaries, learn about missionaries. Each one of them do lots of mission projects and remember people. All of them have card ministries where they send encouraging cards to people. It's just a wonderful time of fellowship once a month to get together, as well as doing all of these things together in Jesus' name. So I hope that you will take time to read that. Okay.
Let's stand and sing page 567.
Reaches out to all to bring our blood and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house to worship you. Take these offerings to bless them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children, any age. Come on down. We're glad to have you. I see some new faces today. Hey, my goodness. Come on around this way so you can see. Good job. All right. Thank you for coming this morning. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. What is this right here? What is it? A globe. That's right. What's a globe? What is it?
It's a
model of the earth, isn't it?
Well, who made the earth?
God. What did God put on the earth after he made it? Animals and plants, water, trees, grass, animals of all kinds. And then what was the last thing he put on the earth to look at? To look after the earth. Man, right? Man to look after the earth. So God made all that earth, and he made everything on it. And God loved the people so much and the earth that he sent his son to show us what he wanted us to do and how to obey him. He sent Jesus to the earth. And when Jesus walked the earth, he chose 12 special men to be his disciples. And those 12 men helped other people believe in Jesus. They taught others about Jesus. Well, when Jesus gathered with his disciples at the very end of his life, before he was crucified, he told the disciples something that he wanted them to do. And we know this as the Great Commission. And I'm going to read this verse in Matthew, these verses, and I want you to listen very carefully. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Listen carefully. This is Jesus talking to those disciples. And then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Did you hear that it said go? It didn't say maybe you should go. Jesus told them to go. And where did he tell them to go? Every part of the nation, right? Go to the whole nation, baptizing them. And that's what today the WMU group is talking about. Jesus told them to go all over the earth that he made, and to share the love of Jesus. That's what missionaries do. Well, I got something special to tell you. Do you have to be an adult to be a missionary? No. You might not can go way around the earth to another country where missionaries are needed, but what can you do? I didn't hear you. Exactly. Where you go every day, it might not be across the world, but you can share God's word right where you go, to school, the neighborhood. If you can tell a friend about what you know about Jesus, are you being a missionary? Are you? Yes, you're being a missionary. You don't have to be a grown-up. Some of you come on Wednesday night to GAs and RAs, and that's what you're talking about, isn't it? Learning how to be a missionary. Any questions about that? We're so glad to have some new faces up here today. So welcome. Please come back. I see about 5 or 6 new faces, and I just love it. Okay, let's go close our eyes and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the missionaries who spread your word all across the world. We thank you for sending Jesus to show us how you want us to learn. Help these boys and girls keep the missionary idea in their hearts so that here in their neighborhood they can share your love and your word. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls, so much for coming.
Good morning, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we would like to focus our attention now at this time on our special ongoing concerns, the ones that are sick, the ones who have had lost loved ones. We just want to go to God in prayer this morning and lift these people up and pray that you will do that all week for them, because we know that we serve an awesome God who does heal. And I'd like to point out a few of these people, especially Linda Hunt, that she's suffering from knee surgery. Pray for her that she can have comfort and maybe pain-free. The Tim Mundy family, pray for those who lost the loved one. And we ask for prayer, too, for Anna Phillips, Gene Smith, and John W. Woodson, and all of these that are ongoing concerns. We know that God will be with them, and we have such an opportunity and blessed that we are able to pray for those, our friends, neighbors, and family. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful today for your love, for your healing power, that each one of us has felt it from time to time during our life when things happened to us that we needed prayer. And we're just so grateful for those who have prayed for us, Lord, as we pray for those now who are hurting and are sick and have lost loved ones. Please be ever near to them, Lord, and let us open our hearts to those that we can help in any way, Lord. We ask all these things in your blessed name. Amen.
If you'll all turn to page 712 for a responsive reading, would you please stand? And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.
This is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard?
And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, and as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Thank you. Good morning. Today's scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. If you are able to, will you please stand as a way to honor the reading of God's word. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
We are so pleased this morning to have as our speaker Teresa Kelly, who is the Executive Director of the Christians United Outreach Center. I'm sure most of you have heard of that. It's in Sanford here, has been here for years. When CUOC was looking to the future growth and sustainability of that organization 6 years ago, they wanted someone to lead that ministry into the future challenges that they were facing. They found that person in Teresa Kelly. As of September 21st, 2009, a new leadership perspective along with an experienced nonprofit executive director came to CUOC. Teresa is a longtime resident of Lee County. Many of you already know her. I found that out because everywhere we go, somebody's saying, "Hey, Teresa." So I know many of you know her already and support CUOC. She's been involved in our community, in the work of our community through Habitat for Humanity, the Sanford Lions Club, Lee Regional Fair Beauty Pageants, Sanford First Pentecostal Holiness Church Ministries, Central Carolina Toastmasters, a run for Sanford City Council in 2009, has served as president of the Broadway Lions Club. Her leadership abilities and hands-on approach and Christian principles will benefit the CUOC for many years to come. 8 years ago, Teresa lost her husband of 28 years to a heart attack. She was married again in June 2011 to Broadway resident Mike Kelly, and I'm sure some of you probably know him, and that's where she's living now. She has two sons and two grandsons, one 9 years old, one three. So she has a good-sized family. Teresa attends the First Pentecostal Holiness Church, where she serves as board member and treasurer. She has sung Southern gospel music. That's why we have recruited her to the choir today, with the Glory Bound Singers, her in-laws, for many years, and she also sings with the church, in her church. Teresa recently was awarded the Duke Energy Citizenship and Service Award at the 2014 Chamber Banquet, and also received the Sanford Herald's Lifetime Achievement Award in 2015 for the work she has done in our community. We welcome Teresa today and are excited to hear what she has to say. Thank you, Teresa.
Good morning.
By the way, she said she's used to speaking long, long times, so about 12:30. I said, "I don't think that's going to work here."
I told her I was going to bring my phone so I could look at the time, because I do attend a Pentecostal Holiness Church, and most of the time it's about 12:30 before we get out of service. So I won't keep you that long, I promise. What a great, wonderful day we're having today. I woke up this morning, and I was trying to think about the words that I would bring to you today, and the birds were singing. I have birds making some nests on my front porch, so spring is right around the corner. I saw some robins this week, so I think if we just hold on a little bit longer to this winter snap, we'll be good for looking at that new spring and that new life. When I was thinking about some of the things that I felt like I needed to speak about, and maybe the scripture that I would use for you today, it was something that was kind of close to my heart. My youngest son is getting ready to be married. And so he is in the middle of wedding planning, and we are trying to get things coordinated, and so we're talking and stuff. And he lives in Birmingham, Alabama, so it's a long way to try to plan things and get it together. But, you know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew, and I love the scripture for the children this morning because it talked about the book of Matthew and about going forward. And one of the things that happened in Matthew 22 was that there was a king that was arranging a marriage for his son. And he sent servants out to invite everybody, but nobody would come. And so he sent them out again, and they were enticed with dinner and the fatted calf and things, but no one still came. So some of the servants that went out to try to solicit people to come in were even killed for asking the servants. But then in Matthew 22 and 8, he says, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.'" And in verse 10 it says, "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." It goes on in that scripture to talk about one that actually did not have a wedding garment and how they took care of that. You know, God requires us as servants to reach those highways and byways for him. In that scripture, it talks about how he sent those out to look for people to build his kingdom. And I like to think that's a lot like COC. We are the hands and feet of the Christian community. Right now, we partner with about 65 churches in our community to provide those needs to families and clients that come to us. We like to think that we're not only meeting their physical needs, but we're also not meeting their spiritual needs only, but also their physical needs. We do that by providing food. That food comes in source of a box of food that they can actually take home and prepare for their families. So they do keep some kind of independence with that food that they offer. That food right now is feeding somewhere between 750 and 800 clients per month. We are going through right now about 40,000 pounds of food per month for distribution to our community. Some of these people that come through might be having an issue with a job. Perhaps they're not working right now. Perhaps it's an elderly person that maybe just can't make it with medicine costs and things. They can't afford to get food. Perhaps it's even a grandparent that all of a sudden finds themselves in a situation that they're raising their grandchildren. That they're living in the home with their grandparents. So there's all kinds of stories that come through CUOC and as to why they're there. So not only do we help with food assistance and meeting that need, which is the main priority of Christians Unite Outreach Center, but there are also some things that we find that those families face along with not having food. And if you can't afford to provide food for your family, there are some other things that they go through. And one is maybe getting evicted from their home. Perhaps it's being behind on their rent so that they're at the point where they're getting an eviction notice. Perhaps it's a power shutoff notice because they've had some extra expenses at school or they've had some things they've had to provide for their children, and all of a sudden they find themselves not being able to pay that light bill. And that light bill, on some days that we've been very fortunate, we've had a mild winter this year. We have had a few rough spells, but still when you find yourself with 20-degree weather and you don't have money for your heat, it becomes a problem. So not only do they have financial aid that we provided last year, we provided financial aid to about 250 families last year. That was a little bit over $25,000 that we spent just helping people keep their lights on and keep from being evicted from their home. The other thing that they find and face sometimes is medical. Not only if you can't afford food and maybe you don't have insurance and you're not being covered under insurance, or if you do have a minimal policy, people with insurance now, they're kicking people out of the hospital a little earlier than they ever did. I remembered when I had a C-section, I was in for like 7 days, and I think now it's like 2 days or something, 3 days. So they're getting shorter times. And sometimes they need medical equipment when they go home. Perhaps that's a walker. Perhaps it's a wheelchair. We had a call this past week where we actually went and picked up a hospital bed. So we had a hospital bed at CUOC, and we got a call this week from the Help and Hand Clinic asking if we had anything available, that they had a client that needed a hospital bed. So we were able to provide that. So not only do we do the food to meet those needs, we help with the financial aid, and we also do medical equipment for those families. Some other things that families face during hard times and crisis situations is clothing issues. We have a thrift store at CUOC that we provide clothing to the community. You can go in and shop. Everybody here can come in and shop. We have great deals, that you can find nice shoes, pocketbooks, clothing. But we also have a program with vouchers for our clients, so that when they maybe come up at school time, when school's getting ready to start back, they have to provide some clothes for their kids. Maybe they've outgrown things. They actually get a voucher, and they can go shop in our thrift store and get what they need for their children. Perhaps it's needing a winter coat. Maybe there's been some changes. One thing I would like to tell you that our thrift store helped with recently, how many of you have heard of Family Promise? So Family Promise is the homeless family program where they go and stay at churches at night. And there was a family, I got called by the director of Family Promise, that they had a family that was coming in. They actually had bed bugs. So they were having to move out of the apartment they were renting. They could not take anything with them because everything was infested. And so even the clothes that they had on when they got back to CUOC, they had to take everything and wash it and destroy it. And they had nothing. They walked out of their house with nothing. And so we gave vouchers to those families. They were able to get 5 outfits of clothing for every family member so that they had clothes for school and for work for the next coming days. So we were able to help Family Promise with clothing. We also work with job seekers here in Sanford so that when somebody's going for a job interview that maybe all of a sudden they're going for an office position that they really don't have clothing for, we provide clothing assistance to those families as well. So they come from the church and they'll bring a voucher and we let them get things. We actually work with the prison system sometimes so that when a prisoner's getting out and he has no clothes for regular normal living, we provide clothes for him to get started as well. So there's lots of things that our thrift store does in this community, not only meeting the needs of the financial things for CUOC, but also to be able to help other nonprofits with the work that we do. The one thing that's really important right now that's going on at CUOC, the last kind of mission that we do, is we are getting ready. I see a lot of young girls here. It is prom season, and what better way to think about a wedding and thinking about getting dressed and having a beautiful dress? But if your family's going through some tough times and having to come and get food, that's not an option sometimes. I don't know if you've priced prom dresses, but they're anywhere from $200 to $400. I mean, they're really expensive. And so having a girl that maybe wants to go to prom, one of the most important times of her life, and she can't go because they can't afford to get her a dress to be able to go. So we have donated prom dresses that come into CUOC. We have a little boutique that we've been getting ready, working with some school classes and getting that ready. And so we have a prom room ready for girls starting next Saturday, two Saturdays. It'll be the first Saturday in March, for fittings of prom dresses. So if you have old prom dresses hanging in your closet that you know, I mean, most of the time when you buy a dress like that, you're never going to wear it again. And so sharing it with somebody maybe that is going through a tough time that could use some help is a great opportunity to give back. It's another way that we can help our clients. We do a lot of work in the community. We do a lot of different missions and things. And not only do we partner with different agencies, but we also partner with the United Way. United Way is a community organization that kind of oversees a lot of things. And this past year, we had a trial, and we've started a process with something called Charity Tracker. And you ask maybe how that's relational, and it is because who remembers Hurricane Katrina in the Gulf? It was a devastating time for a lot of people, and there were a lot of people needing help, and how to coordinate those efforts became an issue. And so there was some people that developed a program called Charity Tracker, and it's a way that clients can be tracked from nonprofit to nonprofit to make sure that they were getting the assistance they needed. Not only that, but making sure that the nonprofits were communicating so that if we had a family come in that was short and we couldn't help them with everything they needed, we could refer them to another client right away. They don't have to go and get asked the same questions over and over again, because every time you go to a different agency for assistance, you have to repeat yourself and your problem. And this program now, Charity Tracker for Lee County, is actually encompassing all of that, so that we enter data when a family comes in to get assistance from us. We are entering that data in that database, but yet Salvation Army can see that data as well. The churches that give money out for clients that need it can see that service as well, so that we can track and make sure that families are getting everything that they need to be able to meet their emergency needs. So we also partnered this past year with CCCC. A lot of our clients, you know, we love to talk about the unemployment in our community and how things work, but if a job company were to come in tomorrow and open up here in Sanford and say they were going to hire 300 to 500 people right off the bat, most of the clients that come to CUOC would not qualify for those jobs. It could be because they don't have a college or education. Could be they don't have their degree. It could be because, you know, of a lot of issues. But there are a lot of families that come to us that do not have that resource to even apply for one of those jobs. And so we looked at a way that we could get our clients out of this process, and one of those was through trying to find them jobs. So we worked with them on that, and we also refer them to CCCC to get their GEDs, to get job training skills. Perhaps they don't have job training skills for a manufacturing company. They can get this for free from CCCC. And so a lot of them were not even aware that it was available. So we have partnered with them to be able to get the word out to our clients. When you're dealing with 750 to 800 families per month, it's a great opportunity for us to reach out to those families to try to get that work to them. How many read in the paper this past week or so that we had 16,000 pounds of sweet potatoes? Yeah. We partner with some farmers sometimes on a large scale to get food to where we need it, to the community. That was the third truckload of 16,000 pounds of potatoes. So that third truckload today is kind of an example of that. We've had beautiful weather this winter. We've had 60-degree days. Today we're going to be about 70. We've had 50s. We've had great temperatures. And so when we asked for that third load, little do we know that next day, 2 days later, it was going to be like zero. So those potatoes are outside. So if we have any pig farmers in here or anybody that feeds animals sweet potatoes, we have a good pile of sweet potatoes. We gave as many as we could and got the word out as much as we could for people to come and get them before the cold weather set in. But we did have some issues with that. So just another opportunity for us to work with local farmers. Gary Thomas Farms actually gives us produce in the spring when his crops start coming in. If he can't sell it that day, he brings it to us by that evening. So we have it for clients every other day or so. We have fresh produce. Gross Farms actually helps us with produce as well. We also partner with Mr. Griffin, A.K. Griffin. He actually plants about an acre and a half of mustard and kale for us. So we go with high school students, with college students, with church youth groups, and go and actually pick greens when they're being developed so that we can get food, fresh food to our clients. So we're always working with partnerships to try to make sure that we've got enough food. We get our money through a lot of different ways. We do a lot of missions from churches, and what a great opportunity to be able to speak to you today through the women's missions of Flat Springs. We are just very thankful to the church families that we have that contribute back to us so that we can continue to meet that need. We also do a lot of grant writing through, and that's part of one of my jobs as the director of COC, is that we write grants in the community. Two years ago, actually got a $40,000 grant from Walmart Foundation, which is great because we're a Christian organization, and the fact that they gave back to us in that kind of that size to give back to our community. We do a lot of gifts. We had a lady come in just within the last couple of weeks, and she was administering an estate for her neighbor, and they actually presented us with a $10,000 check from the lady's estate. So we get a lot of gifts from people that want to see the ministry of CUOC go on in our community. We also do fundraising events, and we have a really special one coming up on March the 21st. We are going to be hosting the Harlem Ambassadors basketball team to Sanford. They are a lot similar to the Harlem Globetrotters. So if you enjoy basketball, I think it's going to be the weekend after the ACC tournament. So everybody should be in good basketball mode. So we're hoping that everybody will come out. Our CUOC All-Star team is a group of all-stars from our community. We've got about 20 people right now that are going to be playing on our team. So they'll be playing by the quarter. Mayor Chet Mann is playing for us. The Broadway Mayor, Don Andrews, is playing for us. We have Brad Salmon from the U.S. House of Representatives. We have, let's see, who else? Carl Bryan from CCCC. We have some people from the Wesley and Southern Lee and Lee Senior. So we have a lot of people from the community that are going to be playing on our team. So it should be a fun night for everybody to bring your family out. Adult tickets are only $10, but youth and seniors can get in for $5. So you can't find a better night of entertainment for $5. So it'll be a fundraiser for CUOC so that we can continue the ministry. It's taken somewhere about $50,000 to $60,000 a year just in food purchases because we don't collect everything that we need to feed the family sometimes. We like to put peanut butter in every box, and when the donations aren't coming in to make sure that happens, we have a partnership with Piggly Wiggly that we actually go and buy that peanut butter by the pallet so that we can get it back. They don't charge us any commission or anything off of it. They charge us exactly what it costs them, and they have it delivered to Piggly Wiggly where we can go pick it up. So we have some great partnerships in the community through our churches. You know, I mentioned that there was about 65 churches, but we have about 120 businesses, and it's people like the Piggly Wiggly and like Pilgrim's Pride down the road here that actually gives us chicken at cost, that we're able to keep meeting that need in this community. As long as the economy stays the way that it is, as long as God keeps calling us for the mission of feeding his sheep, we will have to continue that process, and we need you. We need your church. We need you as volunteers. We need your tithing and your missions donations to come to us so that we can continue doing the services that we do in this community. We are your hands and feet. You can't be there all the time, but we're there to try to make sure that happens. And showing the love of Christ. The other thing that I'll mention is that every time we're open for food distribution, we always have a pastor there. It's either a pastor or a lay speaker that comes and prays and ministers with the people that are hurting. When you come through a door and have to ask somebody to help feed your family, sometimes that's a very humbling experience. And having somebody, because most of the time that's just the tip of the iceberg of things that they're facing. It's just food for us, but it's a whole wealth of problems that they're facing and going through. And so having somebody that can counsel with them, that's looking at God's heart and how to reach these people and what to do for them, is important to us. And so keeping us, and our last thing I'll leave with you is keep us in your prayers. Keep us before the people, the volunteers. We have about 300 volunteers a year that come and do the work that we do. I am the only full-time paid staff person that we have.
Everybody that you see, we have three part-time people that help minister the daily stuff, but all of our volunteers, over 300 of them, including people from the churches, are being the ones that are doing the work of the ministry of COC. I'm just here to coordinate and let you know and update you on things that go on. So we appreciate your prayers. We covet them so that we can continue to meet those needs and let people walk away. You know, we can reach people in their hearts all day long. We can pray for them. We can have them and minister to them and pray, you know, with sermons. But until you meet their physical needs, sometimes it's hard to get through to their heart. And so meeting their physical needs is important for us. And so we've chosen to do that in this community. And we just thank you for your support and the continuing of the prayers and lifting us up so that we can continue to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Teresa, for sharing. We get called here, I guess, an average of once a week, maybe twice a week, with folks. Can you help us? Can you help us? Can you help us? And one of our partnerships is with CUOC, and we do send a lot of people their way, and that ministry that you've heard just a little bit about is indeed part of that. I think of Jesus in Matthew 25 when he said, "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. Sick and in prison, and you came and you visited me." And that is our call as God's people, and I thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for Teresa and the ministry that they do to provide that. 800 families. Our church has about 160 families in it. So you imagine the number of folks that encompasses that have needs. And you know, we can all sit around and say, oh, what they ought to do. They just go do this and just go do that. But if you've ever been in that place, you know it's not quite that simple. And those problems are often deep and very, very complicated. And it takes a lot of work to fix that. Our call as God's people, and our WMU Sunday has reminded us that we are missionary Baptists. And one thing we do is turn our eyes to Jesus. Page 320 is our closing hymn. This morning, if God has said some word to you and you need to respond, then certainly our altar is open. And would you now stand with me as we sing? I'm sorry I caught you too quick, didn't I? is amazing when you look into the eyes of Jesus how everything else kind of changes, doesn't it? In His glory and His grace. We had a great weekend this past weekend. We started off with race day on Friday night, and I think Dylan Smith and Callie Marks were the winner in the men and the women's divisions of the race day, but we had a great competition. I think 22 cars were entered, and we had a great time. And then we followed that up yesterday with sled day. Wasn't it nice to have 60-plus degrees weather? And the ice is not doing well today, so I would advise you to go get on it today. But we had a ball yesterday, and can you hand me right underneath there? You see that trophy? Thank you, dear. And this is our trophy for the chili cook-off, and I think Richard McFarland is probably over on the other side, but he won. Darlene won last year, and we're going to keep the names going. So this is the Where are you? Where are you, Richard? He's all the way. He's the best Baptist here. He's in the back corner, far away from anything he can get. Well, here's your trophy, Richard. The McFarlands, we need to be praying for. They had all kind of disasters, one right after another. And one add to your prayer list, Kayla is going to have gallbladder surgery. But that's just one of the issues they faced this week. But he did make the chili, and he did win. We had a great time. We're estimating over 150 folks were here during the time, and it was just a wonderful experience for us to share a short devotion on God's love, God's grace, and to just meet some folks. And I think we've got some folks visiting with us today from that weekend, and we're excited about that. I do have several announcements that I want to remind you of. Our wild game dinner is March the 12th. We have some flyers on the end of each pew, and that's to put out in a business. Next week we'll have some individual things you can hand out if you would like to, but we would hope you would plan to be that. There's a sign-up if you can help us with desserts and or a wild game dinner. And, yes, we will have chicken as well, so just so you know. This coming weekend, our ladies will be going on their retreat, and our youth will be headed out on the youth retreat. We want to be praying for them as they go. And then over in our atrium, we have a sign-up sheet if you're interested in participating in a mission trip. And this is for everybody, adults, youth, whoever, families could go. And it is to Whitley City. It's the last week in June. And so we think we may even divide it up into 3 or 4 day sections. We're going to work together. But if you're interested, sign up. Once we get a group and we know how many are interested, we'll have a gathering and we'll figure out the details and we'll go from there. And then one last announcement. On March the 1st, we're asking all of our Sunday school teachers and workers in Sunday school to gather with us for a meeting in our fellowship hall. We've got some planning we need to do. We've got high attendance Sunday we need to talk about. We've got youth Sunday we need to talk about. So if you would plan to be a part of that. What if there are any other announcements we need? Teresa, would you come and join me at the door? You know, you could probably get back for half hour of your church right now. I'm just thinking about that. That'd be great. That'd be great. What a blessing for your ministry, for you using your gifts that God has blessed you with to serve our community and to be a part of our church. We are excited about you being here. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might indeed be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, as we leave, we are grateful for those that have led us today. We're grateful for the different ministries of the WMU that touch this community in so many ways, practically by collecting items that are needed for all the different ministries in this community. And God, we just give it all to You, to Your glory. We live and we breathe to serve You, O God. And this church exists to glorify Your holy, blessed name. And God, we just pray that as we now leave and go out, we would recognize we head out into Your mission field, that we, Your people, might influence the rest of Your people who don't know You in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, that they may be brought into the family and they might experience Your love as we do together here. Go with us from this place. In Christ's name.